And Herbert Perry, did he provide the Protestant strategy?
My name is Sibongile Makobi, CDG, Associate Oversight. Thank you.
My name is Tini Bongobe, CDG for Infrastructure Support.
Good afternoon, Chair. My name is Herbert Lala, CDG Administration.
Good afternoon, my name is Renewal Puri, and I'm the CDG Information Society Development and Research.
Good afternoon, my name is Grace Mukwana, Chief Director, Internal Audit and Risk Management.
Good afternoon, Chair. My name is Lyndon Pester. I'm Chief Director for Radio and Satellite Communication.
Good afternoon. My name is Farhad Bosha, Chief Director, Strategic Planning.
Good afternoon. My name is John Jaraka, Special Advisor to the Minister.
Honorable Chairperson, I know that we are really tight. So, there is still someone here.
The King Hotel and CDG ICT International Relations and Trade.
Okay. I'm sure you can proceed, CDG. Yes, thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. I think first, before I get into the presentation, let me also join the ministers and the acting CEO in congratulating yourself and also the chair for the telecoms and social sector in terms of your appointment as chairperson. And also to congratulate members that are here and those who are not here. But also to thank our two ministers and also our two deputy ministers for being here and for their support. Honorable Chairperson, with regard to slide number two, I will not deal with slide number two. I think the two ministers have dealt with slide number two with regard to the reconfiguration. On slide number three, I think before we can get on to the basis of how we develop the strategic planning, just to reflect on the vision, the mission, and the mandate of the department. Maybe just to summarize, I'll just deal with the vision in the interest of time, that our vision is to see South Africa as a global leader in the development and use of ICTs for the socio-economic development, but also with regard to the mandate is that to create a vibrant ICT sector that ensures that all South Africans have access to affordable and accessible ICT services in order to advance the socio-economic development goals. Now, in crafting or developing the strategic plan and the ATP, what we then did as a department was to do a SWOT analysis in terms of what are the emerging trends and identifiable strengths and weaknesses in the sector. But critical for us was to also reflect on the National Development Plan. As members would know that we are expected to ensure that we implement the NDP as government. And also we reflected on the medium-term strategic framework, but also and also the State of the Nation address that was delivered by our President. The overview of the presentation is as follows. The first is we would like to demonstrate the alignment of our ATP with the MTSF, the NDP, and the State of the Nation address. We'll then summarize the strategic priorities, but also we would like to reflect on a process that we undertook as a department to ensure alignment of our ATP with our state-owned company. And then to highlight what are the key strategic risks that are as a result of the key programs that we have on the table. We'll then do a presentation by Sam on the financial information. And lastly, we'll summarize the strategic goals, objectives, and targets. With regard to the planning process, we developed a multiple strategic workshops and both with the senior managers. The workshops were started first by the ministers, and then from then we engaged as a department at branch level, but also interacting with our entities. All our entities were involved in the planning from inception to ensure alignment with the alignment and integration of the priorities. But also one of the things that we'd like to reflect to the members is that our plans are aligned to the framework of strategic plans and ATP, as developed by the National Treasury and prescribed by the prescribed for national departments. And key is to ensure that the targets are measurable and there are indicators and also there are time frames. We can can also report that the draft plans were submitted to National Treasury to look at the funding. They were also submitted to the detainee. What detainee did was to check whether indeed all the issues that are raised in the NDP are also reflected in our ATP. We also submitted the draft plan to the AG. They were checking that all our targets do comply with the SMART principles. Over and above that, what we'll then be doing following the approval of the APC, we'll then be supporting, we'll be submitting quarterly performance reports to the Minister and the Deputy Minister and Treasurer and Department of CME. Just to summarize alignment of our APC, both with the NDP and the NTSF, in the interest of time, I'll just focus on the NTSF because if you read the two columns, they are quite similar. The first NTSF focus area is to develop a new policy framework, strategy and plan for the ICT sector. And what we are doing with regard to this target, Honorable Chairperson, is in this financial year, we'll be drafting a white paper on the National Integrated ICT Policy. This is a process that we started in the year 2012. We started as a colloquium, and then from then, we came with a framing paper, the appointment of chairpersons, and then the green paper was gazetted in December. What we can also do, Honorable Chairperson, when they come, could probably be members also on the green paper.
So, it's like we don't have documents yet. I've been looking all around. I don't know other members. I'm putting it for myself.
I don't know.
A distribution will be done just now. Who else? Those who don't have the documents in there? Okay.
The next target, which is coming up with a national e-strategy, which is also aligned to the NDP and the NTSF. The next issue, Honorable Chairperson, is about expanding broadband penetration. The next four roles on the 2014-15 ATP target unpack the key strategies that are in the South Africa Connect, that is the digital readiness, digital development strategy, the future strategy and the digital opportunity strategy. When we get into the details, we'll be able to engage with us in terms of what are the key deliverables with regard to the four strategies. The next issue that is also in the NTSF is set out a strategy for universal internet access, which is also a matter that was raised by Honorable Ndozi. What we will then be delivering from our side is an internet strategy to develop and also to implement to support the advancement of the digital opportunities in line with South Africa Connect. The next issue, just to summarize, is on with regard to the NDP, we are also requested to fast-track the unbundling of the local loop and from our side also supported by the regulator is the local loop unbundling is part of the program of action on the cost to communicate. And over and above dealing with the local loop unbundling, there are also a number of interventions that we'll also be dealing with. For example, the transparent pricing and also the premium content. The second issue that is also in the NTSF is that we are also requested to ensure that as a country we improve our international ranking. And this is a matter that there is a slide that I'll talk to, but over and above that, there are a number of key drivers that are contributing to the position that we are in. And for us to be able to improve our ranking as a country, it requires a coordinated effort in terms of dealing with the key drivers that are contributing to our position. The next issue, the focus area, which is number 8 on the NTSF, is to promote the e-literacy. And what we'll then be doing as a department is to come up with an internet strategy that will also support the advancement, advancement of the digital opportunities in line with the South Africa Connect. Over and above that, we are also expected to ensure the computerization of the post bank. The minister spoke to this matter earlier on. Over and above ensuring that we are aligned also with the NDP and the MTSF, we also reflect on the State of the Nation address as delivered by the President. The key issue, which is what the President said, was that the post bank will be supported so that it can play a leading role in the expansion of nation services. Now, this is also in line with what the Minister reported earlier on, that we will be focusing on the corporatization of the post bank. And over and above that, what the President also said is that we will expand, modernize and increase the capability of ICTs. And for us to be able to respond to what was said by the President in the SONA, this will be supported by a multiple of key priorities. The first one, which is the implementation of the South Africa Connect. Second, the development of the internet strategy. Third, if you look at the line, the sentence that was said by the President, the last part of the sentence is the digital broadcasting. Is therefore for us to facilitate the implementation of the digital broadcasting program. Next being the implementation of the cost to communicate program, which deals with affordability. And lastly, the development of the e-strategy. Now, just an overview of the plan. The 2014-2019 strategic plan of the APP comprises of 5 strategic goals and 11 objectives and 29 targets. And these targets will be delivered by the following programs. The first one being administration, secondly, international affairs, third, policy research and capacity. We just want members to note that with regard to program 3, this program has consolidated 2 branches, one headed by DDG Piri and also DDG Reneva, which is the policy branch and the information and society branch. The first program, which is the enterprise development and SOC oversight, lastly, the ICT infrastructure support. Just to summarize the strategic priorities, a lot of them were also mentioned by the minister earlier on. The first being the ICT policy review, which is a continuation of the previous financial year. And then the second key strategic priority for us is broadband, followed by the internet strategy, the national e-strategy, our program on the cost to communicate, and then facilitating the implementation of the broadcasting digital migration, dealing with our ranking as a country with regard to international ranking, and then also what also was reported by the minister, the turnaround of the SACO, and then lastly, at the post day. We did not highlight the issues, but it's also a program that is also integrated with regard to the e-strategy. Just to summarize the ICT policy review, what was delivered in the previous financial year is that we gazetted a green paper. The focus for us in this financial year would be to come up with a white paper, which would then be finalized by the end of this financial year. On the next slide, the second part is just to unpack what then needs to be delivered. Following the approval of the South Africa Connect, which is the broadband policy in December 2013, what we will be focusing on in this financial year is the implementation of the broadband policy. And we also want to report to members that we have also established the Broadband Council in line with the amended Electronic Communication Act. Slide number 14 just unpacks the 4 strategies that deals with the implementation of broadband. So I'll just keep that in the interest of time. And then with regard to the e-strategy, the World Summit on Information Society, which was held both in Geneva 2003 and 2005, it urged member states or countries to develop national strategies. What we then did as a country in 2007 was to come up with the Information Society Development Plan, which was a 5-year plan. The plan is up for review, but what we then decided to do is that in line with the National Development Plan, instead of updating the plan, is then to come up with a strategy. But if we get all the key pillars that are in the plan, they are actually the basis of coming up with a strategy in terms of your e-connectivity and your e-government in a nutshell. And then the next program, would be the cost to communicate. And just to summarize, we've already spoken about the pricing transparency and premium content policy direction. But the key for us, which also would assist us in with regard to our study commitment, is to conduct a study on the national roaming to also address the high cost to communicate. But especially for us is that while we do acknowledge the good focus on dealing with the voice cost, is we would then focusing our attention on data pricing, and therefore we'll then be conducting a study on the mobile data pricing. With regard to the broadcasting digital migration, what we would then be focusing is that there are a number of issues that we need to finalize with regard to the broadcasting digital migration program. The first one being the finalization of the policy, which was gazetted in December 2013. The second issue would be a process to unlock a process of ensuring that we can distribute the set-top boxes to those that require them. And then lastly on this program would be establishment of the broadcasting digital migration call center. But over and above that, we then need to ensure that we prioritize the implementation of the awareness program. On slide number 18, I think I've spoken to the issue of ensuring that we do improve our ranking as a country with regard to the IT and also on the continent. There are a number of drivers that are contributing to the position that we are in. If you look at the readiness index, which is your infrastructure, your affordability, and your skills, already there is a clear progress from our side to deal with the readiness. And then if you look at the usage, which is the individual, the business, and the government, Minister spoke passionately about the e-government. So what we then would be doing is that to really focus on the six key drivers that will then assist us to ensure that we can then benefit or realize the social and economic impact. And therefore, addressing these key drivers will then assist us in improving our ranking as a The next slide deals with the cooperation of the post bank. I will not deal with this slide, but just to highlight that one of the things that we really do need to do, which is a critical dependency for the licensing of the bank, is to ensure that we do turn around the post bank and it is in a financial standing. On slide number 20, what we thought we would do, honourable members, since the finalisation of the DRR report and also the legacy report, we have reflected on the issues that were raised by the committee, and there is a concerted effort from ourselves, calling up with our agencies and also internally in the department to ensure that we do work on all the issues. Because we believe that the issues that are raised can assist us in improving our performance as a department. And in responding to those issues and over and above the internal weaknesses that we are aware of, is that we have adopted a framework which is what we refer to as an integrated framework element, which has got three key components, which is the leadership and the governance. The second issue is the processes and the systems, and the people and resources. This, in a nutshell, is a process that will assist us in addressing some of the key businesses that we do have. And on slide number 22, just to report that we went through a very thorough process in ensuring that we do align our strategic priorities with that of the entities. And from slide 23, we just summarized some of the key activities that will be undertaken by our entities. For example, on slide number 23, the key for us with regard to the post office is the corporatization of the post bank, the distribution of the set-top boxes by post bank, but also ensuring that we do come up with a turnaround plan for the post office. And then with regard to slide number 24, on the SABC, is just to ensure that the non-financial targets of the SABC are also delivered with regard to the increase in terms of the audience percentage. On slide number 25, which summarizes the work of Centec, the key issue for us is to ensure that we work with Centec to address the underperforming business of BTEC and the short ways and which are affecting the overall profitability of the organization. And on the USASA, the key priority for us is really to unlock the distribution of the set-top box program. And but I think when the entity presents to Parliament, they'll be able to engage members in terms of how they will deliver on their priorities. On slide number 27, which is the East Coast Institute, is key for us is first to finalize the measure and of the Minister, ISA, and the East Coast from a legislation point of view or the legalities, but also to formalize partnership with leading universities, international companies. And what we are hoping for is that these are some of the partnerships that can assist us with regard to the funding of the East Coast. On slide number 28, which summarizes the key priorities of the regulator. The first one is to report on the necessity of for competitive regulation in the provision of the subscription broadcasting television services. The next issue that will also, if I can just highlight, that will also be delivered by the regulator, which will assist us with regard to the issues that are raised in the National Development Plan, is to finalize the regulations that introduces the local loop and banking. On slide number 29, which deals with the Dr. Redner, the main issue, just to summarize, is to manage government reserve name list in order to have inclusive domain name country community, but also to support an inclusive internet governance by developing and recommending clear policy positions. With regard to the risk, I will not get into the mitigation risk strategies, but we have identified five programs that we believe that with the concerted effort of managing the risk, we should be able to move with some of the key activities that we have. The first one is the ICT policy review on slide number 30. Slide number 31 is the implementation of the broadcasting digital migration, which is the second strategic risk. The third strategic risk is with regard to broadband. And then number four is the state-owned companies and oversight. And number five is our program on the international agenda and trade. On slide number 35, Honorable Chairperson, if I can just be allowed to allow DDG Vilakazi just to present the next 2 to 3 slides that unpacks the finances of the department.
Thanks, DG. Honorable Chairs, in terms of the budgetary allocation, the department has a budget of 1.5 billion for the current financial year, that is 2014-2015. Spread as indicated on the tables there, administration being the biggest component at 216. I think the research of the committee did touch on the allocation of the budget through the department and did indicate that administration is going to be taking a large chunk. I think it's just mainly because it houses all the support functions as well as the related offices. International trade and affairs, 36 million, policy research, 98 million. Broadcasting, which is mainly the SOE oversight, taking 719 million. Infrastructure support, 523, and part of this also forms part of the transfers. In terms of the economic classification, 503 million of the 1.5 goes to current payments. Spread between salaries as well as goods and services. If I could just indicate to honorable members, salaries they take about 204 million and the rest caters for goods and services, which is about 300 million in this department. The rest of the money, which is 1 billion, goes to entities, the likes of CASA, SABC, Centec, MINISA, Independent, and so on. In the next slide, we do have transfers and membership fees that we pay to international organizations. Membership fees that we pay about 60 million. CASA, we currently transfer 376, MINISA, 37, USASA operation, 65 million, and the USAF funds, 49 million, right now, 1.6. SABC for various activities, community radio stations, BDM programs, SABC education, and so on, it's about 227. And the central box subsidies, it's currently sitting at 240 million. And Centec, which is meant for digitization, 69 million. That's what makes up the 1 billion. And thank you very much for my questions.
Thank you, DDG Vilakazi. On slide number 14, what we've done, Honorable Chairperson, is just to unpack the strategic goals, objectives, and targets. And these targets are broken down into quarterly targets in the APP. Just to summarize the first key strategic goal, which is to enable the maximization of investment in the ICT sector. And with this one, what we'll be doing in responding to this key strategic goal is first to come up with the white paper, as I've reported earlier on, But the second issue that we did not discuss earlier on is the national address system policy that will be gazetted, and also the community broadcasting growth strategy development submitted to cabinet. The second issue, Honorable Chairperson, is the ICT broad-based Black Economic Empowerment Council will be established and be operational. This package is also reflected in the APC of the regulator, and they will then, from their side, to ensure effective participation of the HCI and the broad-based economic and empowerment. On strategic goal number, same goal number one, on slide number 41, the objective is to ensure or to increase economic growth and improvement of South Africa's competitiveness. And our key program is our cost to communicate program, Honorable Chairperson. And also, when we do engage on the APC of the regulator, you will see that there is also alignment from the regulator in the sense that they will also, they've got issues that will assist us in addressing the cost to communicate. On slide number 42, which deals with ensuring that the ICT infrastructure is accessible, robust, reliable, affordable, and secure. In essence, what we will then ensure is the implementation of the South Africa Connect, but over and above that is the revision of the relevant regulatory legislative measures that facilitate to promote the adoption of e-government services and the development of the e-services platform monitored and evaluated. And then the next key strategic objective with regard to strategic goal number two would be the migration from analog to digital. I think I've spoken to these ones over and above the set-top boxes is the public awareness. On strategic goal number three, which is to accelerate the socio-economic development of South Africa through building an inclusive information society. The target from our side is the internet strategy. Over and above that is the two baseline reports developed on the state of SMEs in the identified subsectors like your telecommunications and postal. On slide number 45, which deals with strategic goal number three also, and the objective deals with the ICT research and development, our key target would be an ICT research program developed and implemented focusing on the economic growth and global competitiveness. And the last part would be an ICT information management repository developed, maintained, and updated. Also continue with strategy goal number three, and then objective 3.3, which is an inclusive information society through partnerships with business, civil societies, and the three spheres of government. What we are currently doing is to compile the World Information Society report, which needs to be submitted to the ITU in 2011. And over and above that is the ICT Capacity Development Program on information ethics implemented. And the third issue is to mainstream our GDYC, which is our Gender, Disability, Youth and Children program. And lastly, the promotion of the ICT agenda across the three spheres of government. One of the things that we are also expected to do across government is to ensure that we coordinate the investment in the different sectors, but for us, in the ICT sector, done by the private sector and the three spheres of government. With regard to strategy goal number four, which deals with the improvement of the departmental performance and to enhance our role of the ICT state-owned corporations as a delivered arm of government. The first key target is the submission of ACT's facilities in terms of their ACT quarterly reports and the annual reports, reviews and assess on all mandatory legislative reports and plans undertaken and recommended to the executive. And depending on what the issues are, there will also be engagement with the entities. The next issue, I will not talk to you, deals with the post-bank. The second strategic objective that deals with the performance of the department is to focus on support systems developed and implemented at aiming achieving a clean administration. But focusing on key is the effective function of the performance management system, aligning the performance agreement with the ACC, but also dealing with the supply chain management policies. The last strategic goal, which is number 5, contributing to the global ICT agenda, prioritizing Africa's development. The strategic objective, the first one being South Africa's active participation in the multilateral, bilateral, and other international fora. The first target is the 3 Africa ICT infrastructure. Secondly, advancing South Africa's position with regard to increasing our multilateral fora. And then lastly on the slide is the relations with the South-South countries reviewed and identified. The second strategic objective, 5.2, is to explore and exploit trade and investment opportunities for the ICT sector in South Africa. And the target for us is the existing trade and investment opportunities will be reviewed and additional trade and investment programs for the ICT sector identified and implemented. Honorable Chairperson, thank you very much.
Thanks, DJ, about the presentation. And let me just check the members. And do you want to engage with the presentation from the members? In the meantime, the members are thinking about this issue. Yeah. Okay. Maybe let me just a passing question on the consultant and then proceed thereafter. Since you were presenting, you actually made mention of one matter that was brought from the Auditor General regarding the revenue that was not meeting the document, the department standards in terms of compliance. And you actually said it has. I do have a particular interest on that because it's something that I was just watching. And I was interested to see if now complying. I would therefore need to see evidence actually to that. If it's possible. Honorable Henson.
Thanks, Chair. Just for me, there are a couple of issues that are of concern. Areas of risk that are flagged as were reported around the issue of policy advocacy change. I think there are a couple of them. And for me, they're just not small issues, but they're quite serious issues. I mean, the issue of digital migration deadline, the issue of universal access, but it has flagged, the report flags all this as risk areas. And I know maybe we would have, as committees and as we pay our oversight, start to look at this area quite intensively, maybe at some point, Chair. We might not be able to really get into detail with those issues. But I think what they are flagged in the report and they really cross over on that. But the other issue, DG, is the issues that have been raised by the Auditor General. And I thought that as you respond, you would have tried to also respond to those issues because specifically when you get to DOC, there are quite a number of issues, but when you go to, I think the other entities will deal with them when we come here because we are going to engage with those entities themselves. But for example, if you look at what the AG's office raises, I mean, the issues of vacancy rate, which is high, position of fearful performance that will not find, the need for monitoring of supply chain management policy, and the issue of increase in irregular expenditure from 2013. I mean, those are huge issues that AG is raising, and I thought that part of what would be presented is, for example, what if the department has said to be any mechanisms of, by the time the AG has raised those issues, you've already started to deal with them. I mean, you look at the issue of expenditure. Overall, 54% achievement of target, rather 54% achievement in 2013. Surplus, and that's around the CASA revenue.
findings with the 2014 fiscal ATP review. I'm not so sure in your discussion with the AG's office, that there are quite a number of things that are raising, and you would have hoped that by that time there is some form of response, but the presentation already understood. Major concern when you have senior managers for SMS then must not sign interconnect agreements, because that means you are not able to hold anyone accountable. If you can't hold people accountable, then that becomes a problem. And part of what the AG's office is raising is that at times the things that they are raising, and it doesn't seem like there's any consequences. For example, if there's non-compliance, they don't get a sense that there are consequences for them compliance. And the turnaround time where people are supposed to respond in terms of that, so in terms of the slow response from the department in terms of the issues raised by the AG's office. You find that issue are over, they feel they've raised something the previous day, you move to another year, those issues still over there, they have not been responded to. So I thought specifically those are the things that we need to look into. Chairperson, the issue that I also want pastors want to reflect and with the minister and ministers and the city ministers here is again the issues of stress then. I think and maybe later as well when we engage with the auditor general's office, because I know we have moved from only auditing finances but also auditing performance. And for me as well, the issue of targets, and I'm humble on this, because they need to be very specific, quantifiable with time frame. Otherwise they just make our life difficult. So I think we have an opportunity here, and I'm raising this thing because I'm taking advantage that we have an opportunity that the new departments that are going to be formulated are going to be established. And when we put together the new APPs, let's rather try and see how we make sure that the stress plans, sorry, we have the opportunity to put the stress plans, let's try and make sure that how, when we put the stress plans going forward, they are able to assist. Obviously, the executives, the ministers, when they do their own oversight holding, the DG is accountable. It's easy when you have clear targets and time frames. And also from our side as well as members of the committee, it will be easier to hold the executive accountable because there will be tangible things. I have an issue with statements that are just statements, that are not really specific in terms of targets and time frames, because they become difficult. It's easy for evasion and it's easy for goal shifting and fiscal dumping. So for us to avoid such things, we need to have statements that are really specific and very clear. And I'm taking this opportunity because we have an opportunity to do this with the establishment of the new department. Thank you, Chair.
Can I say that quickly before we are you proceed? In relation to the cyber security hub, can I just be highlighted? Because there is a reflection of a gap in planning, in the planning process required, 100% implementation in terms of the budget has already been implemented, but then there was the entire process is not finalized, but money is already utilized all of it. So meaning that there was imbalance, how that has been addressed or being addressed at the current moment. Maybe the very last one from my side could be the progress on that regular expenditure you did this year. How far are you moving in terms of that led irregular expenditure? Yeah, just those.
Honorable Master.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. And thank you, teacher, for the presentation. I just want to find out space. I think the Chairperson Kubai has covered me on some areas. On the 2014 was targeted by AG to obtain clean audit. So I just want to find out when do the department think that, including the entity, that they will reach that clean audit. And based on the issues of accountability, that what is it that is doing with those line managers who contribute to the non-achievement of the clean audit? For me, I think because what happens is if you don't break it down to the line manager, everything is blamed onto the DG or the CEO. So what is it that you're doing? And I believe I would want to see probably that particular area should be linked and be part of the performance agreement of that particular land manager. The other one is the same as the questions I asked on communication in relation to women, youth and people with disabilities, if you have the target, or is it only 2%, and what percentage of women and what percentage of the budget is focused on women, youth and people with disabilities. And lastly, you spoke of the South countries. Are you on strategic goal 5, the participation in multilateral and bilateral? Do you also consider BRICS as those international bodies? Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Can I propose that we deal with the question that follows? So, Tara, can you deal with the performance auditing process that you engage with TPB and the AG?
Okay, thanks, DJ. Honorable Chairperson. In terms of the short-term targets, in terms of it being more specific and quantifiable, I think the comment is noted. We could go back and look at them, but perhaps just to mention, we actually engaged the National Treasury from the outset in terms of facilitating the first draft of the strategic plan, specifically to ensure in terms of smartness of the target. Therefore, the AG was roped in and presented to the audit committee as well, where they confirmed it. I think what helps now in terms of ensuring smartness that in the APP as well, the annual targets, which obviously has a time frame of 12 months, and then unpacked into quarterly targets within each quarter, within every quarter you have a 3-month period, sort of a window period in which you have tangible things to achieve. And also what we've gone through with AG is to confirm what sort of tangible evidence we will provide per quarter, which we'll then provide to them as a proposal of evidence for the audit purposes. However, having said that, we will go back and once again look at how quantifiable smart they are, but just to tell you that we have tried to tick all blocks in terms of getting it accurate from engaging National Treasury to bringing the AG on board quite early, as well as the audit committee and so forth. But we do note your comments. Thanks.
The second issue, Kathy, can you deal with the performance agreement and also the vacancy rates, the lease issue, all the issues that contribute to us in terms of the audit issues?
Thank you. Honourable Chair, yes, with regards to the performance agreement, what has happened is that we have embarked on consequence management, so to speak. There have been letters of warning that have been issued to the non-compliant individuals with regards to submission of performance agreements on time. It is a process that we will be following up on very seriously in the coming year as well. With regards to the disciplinary action, because year on year, it may not be the same people. The disciplinary action sometimes cannot proceed beyond a warning, beyond a written warning stage. But it is an area that we will be focusing on. With regards to the filling of vacancies, currently within the SMS, and I think the AG reported that also subsequent to her report this morning, in the SMS currently we have we've got 94 folds. We've got 11 in the recruitment pipeline. 6 posts are currently being advertised. So in terms of our funded SMS vacancies, we are sitting with only 2 positions that are yet to be filled. With regards to the, I think it was the gender and the disability, gender and disability representation, in the SMS we are sitting at a 35% female representativity, which we do need to work on with regards to meeting the national target. And with disability as well, in the department we sit at a 1.9% disability rate at the moment. Thank you.
Just can you deal with the self-cost matter?
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson and members and ministers and President. The South Pole countries refer to all the BRICS countries that we have been trilateral with, contractual with, and also ISTA, which is what before BRICS. And it refers to all the like-minded countries who are geographically and politically linked with the South development agenda, countries like Cuba, Korea, Malaysia, the UAE, Peru, the Caribbean, Chile, Japan, the APD group, the Asia Pacific group, and Romania, Poland, all the countries that we share political thinking with around other transforming the UN, and also dealing with the so-called first world countries or the Big Five, also countries that we share a relationship with in terms of things, G77 and other related kind of agenda items in terms of development, including Iran. Thank you.
In as far as the issues raised by the Auditor General are concerned, what we have done, we have put in, we've put together an action plan to address all those issues. But perhaps maybe broadly, or to put it into more of a bit of a context. In 2012, there was a process that was initiated by the Minister called the Clean Audit Process in response to the call by the AG. What that process was seeking to do was to put in place systems and processes within the department and the entities to make sure that the routine administration is attained. And subsequent to that, action plans were developed by the entities as well as the department. And currently what is happening is that we are monitoring the implementation of the action plans against all those issues, even beyond the issues that were raised by the AG. In fact, part of what we are seeing as the report from the AG, in as far as the regular expenditure is concerned, is the fact that the department on its own is able to pick up things even before the AG comes in. So most of the issues that will be reported in the annual report that will be presented in Parliament in, around July, August, are the issues that the department itself has been able to identify independently and reported some of those to the AG. So basically it points to the effectiveness of the internal controls. However, though having a regular expenditure is still not desirable, the plan is to totally eradicate the regular expenditure in the financial year 2014-2015. Thanks.
Ms. Chairperson, I would also like Head of Internal Audit just mention something. The reason why I did not respond to some of the issues that are raised by the AG is that some of them have already been addressed. And one of the things that was raised last year was by the AG was the delay in the appointment of the leadership in terms of the department and what was achieved by the former minister at the time last year.
was to ensure that we have a full complement of DDGs, which has also assisted, and it was supported by also by the AC, that when you've got continuous access, it does impact in terms of the performance of the department. And some of the critical positions that were appointed recently was positions like the Chief Director, HRM, Head of Internal Audit, because we also have challenges with internal audit and also appointing the director in internal audit. Some of the key positions that we'll be finalizing in the next few weeks, besides the CFO, which we did, we had appointed, but and the person resigned, was to capacitate our legal needs. Because one of the challenges that we have is that when you actually want to deal with certain some of these issues, there are legal matters that requires us to ensure that we should have a capacitated a legal team. But over and above that, I think, let me just ask Greg just to say something in terms of the processes that are underway in addressing the internal control deficiencies, especially in the HR environment and the finance environment, Greg.
Thank you, Chairperson. We will be conducting a control self-assessment for every business unit within the department. And maybe if I were to explain a control self-assessment, it's a process whereby the process owner would identify their objectives. And from those objectives would say, these are our risks that we're identifying. And after identifying the risks and say, these are the controls that are in place, how well are those controls working? And if there's any gaps identified, how do we improve on those? So it's actually a process that we want to improve the control environment. And it's going to be an ongoing process, but it's going to be done for every business unit. And what's nice about this is that the risk identified actually, the owner, the owners are taking responsibilities over those risks. So if there's accountability responsibility taken, then there would be accountability associated with it.
The next issue on our budget, if I can just respond to the issue of the ICC policy review, it is a fact that these are the risks that if we don't ensure that we finalize the process on time, it will impact. One of the concerns or one of the areas that we were also marked negatively in terms of our international ranking has to do with the issues of policy uncertainty. That as a department or we come up with certain processes from a policy point of view, but things are not finalized on time or as expected. So one of the things that we are really appreciating with our risk management process is the robustness of raising issues as is, because we need to reflect them the way they are so that we can have a concerted effort to address them. And but the main thing is to, you know, if we don't deliver on these things, what they tend to do, what they will do is to cause police insecurity, which becomes an issue for us as a country.
Just two things. In terms of the presentation as well, I think it's like eight ways to cover one area, the first track loop, local loop and bundling. Because one is that one would want to know if there's been a regulatory impact assessment. It's one of the issues that the previous term has been an issue from those committees. But Minister, in the morning, AG's office flagged, I think it's appropriate to highlight this to you, but they have flagged the issues of the FIU reforms or investigations that are in place. And possibly some time, the committee is likely to ask you to share some light, might not be today, but I thought it's important for you to ask it to members of the committee in the morning at the AG's office, those FIU reforms.
Okay, maybe before you respond, just to add particularly on the work that has been done by the CAS committee, the issue of the duplication on the community broadcasting and the recommendation that was done by the committee that if it be transferred to the MDDA, just to give us feedback in terms of progress on that one as well, already was dealing with it. Are there other hands or other members here? Honorable Ndozi, Honorable Kekana, and Honorable Masego. In that order.
Okay. have to say is what exactly we have said. So I'm withdrawing my name. And maybe if the person who spoke about the post, if he can tell us again, because we never had that. She was running like a lightning. Said.
Has one of the results posted?
Sure. No, I don't. The two things that I want to echo first is that we need to get a proper response about the quantification in terms of time of targets, so that we are able to get a sense of how successful. When do you want to achieve what, by what time, and all these things. I thought that. I don't know, but I don't think we've got a proper response. Now, I'm thinking broadly, and I'm not sure if I can persuade in terms of the economic strategy, largely, that can we take a brave step? Because the economic opportunity for a really self-sufficient country, well, in any area, at least in this case, is communication, going to lie a lot on our ability to locally produce some of these things. I'm going to say, for instance, SADC needs to do that whole migration from analog to digital television. And that the devices there, I'm sure we can transport all of them. What is the thinking to pursue really local production of telecommunication electronics for the continent? Number two, I'm giving these two as examples, and they are here in the strategic vision of the department. The cell phone, for instance, has become so crucial to access to information by South Africans, I mean in the entire continent, that even if we were to provide massive internet, the production of the actual device, its maintenance, maybe, and all those things, sustainably, is still something we're going to look for to other nations. Given the thinking, I mean, about that's how some of the developing countries took a step to become developed, is that they took a brave investigation into how they can produce locally some of the electronics and become independent. So, because it seems to me that we're just consistently in the cycle of constantly depending, even on such simple things. Probably, I know the change was to the development of that device of getting DSTV. It's not that complicated. I'm sure the Chinese can assist us. We can get somebody here to pursue really the local production of these things. That, I think, a real economic developmental plan. That is not just imagining growth, but job opportunities, but as well self-sufficiency. The ability to say, but here, even if the whole world can close its borders, we can continue to speak. But if the world can close its borders, there will be cell phones in South Africa, and we'll stop talking to each other. I think that's... So I'm that's a comment, really. I'm hoping that I'm still in there. I'm not out of work. I've been out of work the whole day. Lastly, I thought also we must be extremely elaborate. I don't know whether it's the department, the art, or it's communication. The entire thing about the local content. And again, that's how we're going to become self-sufficient as a country, to promote our local content. A more detailed, quantifiable plan about how we're going to promote local content, not just in television and radio and all those things, but you know, yeah. Let me put it like that. I think that I'm not getting a detail around those two areas, which I think we must be extremely aggressive as a country, and we can have a better future with communications. Otherwise, the other issues, by I'm in agreement, that are raised by the Auditor General, I will see another time maybe, because there's a lot of things that are said. performing very badly, but maybe the ministers are touching and things will get better. But I thought to talk with you about that strategic vision moving forward. How about we raise, investigate the possibilities of the local production and invest in such terms?
Thanks, Honourable Member. Honourable Member,
thank you very much, Chair. Mine is just on with the Minister that actually to exercise oversight over the whole department. That the Minister should exercise the oversight over the administration. And why one knows that appearing before the Auditor General is the requirement that the accounting officer associates. And it is in the best interest of the minister to attend such meetings, not to engage, not to be questioned or interrogated, but just to listen, because that is where you find gaps. And when you then engage with the report of the AG, it is based on that you have a better understanding, because you find that the questions that are given to SCOPA are different from what we've reached in the department. So then it has to draw. That is an opportunity to do that. As I said, that I know that you're not accounting to SCOPA, but it's in your best interest to attend such meetings. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Can I request DBC to deal with the issue of the local contingency from the issue of casting and the local contingency?
Thank you. The local bundling issue has been with the department and the CASA for some time. It emanates from a report which was conducted and together with the policy directive issued to ICASA in 2007. What we have seen is that the implementation model of what kind of local loop unbundling are we going to have in the country has delayed, particularly to this, the issue of the regulatory impact assessment, as you have said, Chair. So, in the plans, as we have it now, it is very clear that the kind of policy directive which was issued in 2007, wherein it was looking at only fixed, may not necessarily be the relevant policy for now. And so we're engaging with the CASA to look at how we assess moving forward. This issue is in our plans for the current financial year, and we are going to look into analyzing how ICASA can move forward. ICASA has been committed to the impact assessment. We are looking into that to determine what role will the minister play out of the recommendations that ICASA will make regarding this. Because in implementing local loops, there is sometimes different models. Other countries, such as France, for instance, have gone for a partial opening up of the loops. And in some other countries, there's been models which have actually failed. Those kinds of issues need to be considered very strongly for a successful model. Also, to look at the economic impact of that for the operator who's targeted to with the loops. The issue of the recommendation regarding the transfer of community broadcasting, over time, the department has had a cooperation and a memorandum of understanding with MTDA, particularly to look at how to assist community broadcasting, specifically radio, to develop content and for their sustainability. That model has worked very well. It's very important to respond to your question, noting that the department, in its previous configuration, had a policy mandate regarding broadcasting. So if you are to look at issues of transfer, for instance, we want to look at that issue very specifically. How to give the accountability of the main function in the end? And this issue can people check and to see what else. Honourable Chairperson, in fact, the issue raised here by the honourable member, the local content issue, it is not in the APP now because we have a comprehensive strategy that we have adopted looking into the whole issue of local content production. And it is quite open. It doesn't only look at broadcasting, but also looking at the new medium of transmission of information, including the mobile sector, as it were. The minister will be taking this to cabinet for final adoption, and we will concede that, in fact, it is important for us to look at a forward-looking way in which content can be produced. The key issues that are difficult with this has been the fact that the department does not necessarily host a content fund. And this is part of the recommendations that is in that strategy. So it is an issue that I think is very close to the level of implementation. Government has been focusing on this issue for the past 2 years.
The next issue, Honorable Chairperson, if I can just make a request, Honorable Ndol, just to go to page 49 of the APP. While we presented high level the targets, but what we've done in the annual performance plan was just to unpack the targets in terms of quarterly targets, like for example, with regard to the first one strategic objective, you will have the what is developed in terms of the first quarter, the second quarter, the third quarter, and the fourth quarter. That's the first issue that I wanted to address. The second issue, I think you are really correct on the issues of the, you don't have the APP. The second issue that you raised with regard to the local manufacturing, I actually do agree with you. If you look at the vision of the department, for South Africa to be a global leader in the development and the youth, what you're actually talking to is at the core of the development, and this is in line with the establishment of the SIP that was established by the President, the Presidential Coordinating Commission, especially SIP 15, because one of the things that we are requested to do with regard to the rollout of broadband, so that we don't allow ourselves just to continue to be a user of broadband, that when we come up with these massive rollout of broadband, we must always look at identifying key areas for development, so that you analyze the whole ecosystem of the value chain of broadband to say what are the areas that we can identify for local manufacturing. Because if we're going to connect, let's say, I think we have about 32,000 schools. And generally, each school has got about 800 to 2,000 learners. If, let's just think about a massive program where each learner is provided with a tablet. Just think about the economic opportunities. If we have the necessary resources, just to roll out, and then. So this is really in the thinking of the vision, and my view is that while the vision has been here for a while, it is so much relevant, because for me the issue of the development is something that we really need to grapple with as a country, and that's the point where we do win, because for us to deal with some of the challenges that we are facing, unless we deal with the development of ICT, we're not going to win. And that's the reason why, over and above transport and energy, this is another key sector that has been identified by government that can assist us in moving forward. And then for that, I think I would allow the Minister maybe to just to say something. We are interacting with the Department of Trade and Industry. They've done a lot of studies, but our view is that while they are the custodian for local manufacturing on behalf of the country, but we need to take the lead as far as the ICT sector. We can be supported by them, but because they have to worry about all the sectors, they may not necessarily prioritize ICT at the level that we would want. And maybe we can just talk about some of the engagement that they're having with the DTI.
Thank you, Chili, Honorable Deputy. Indeed, as the DTI has indicated, industry development is one of our core priorities that we are looking at. And as the DTI has indicated, we're looking at it holistically. So we're looking at setting the correct policy framework, but then also we engage in DTI around possible incentives that could be considered. We internally, we're trying to promote local procurement and also trying to channel
our industries to utilize local procurement. And then from our side also we say, yes, we want to stimulate the sector, but there are a lot of SMEs already, that is just to what extent are they utilizing ICTs? How can we ensure that they, that we facilitate connectivity for them, but also how do we empower them that we do facilitate connectivity too? In respect of innovation, the department is working very closely with the Ikamba National E-Skills Institute and Dr. Vestal is here, as well as the Department of Science and Technology to see how we can stimulate innovation, what kind of awards and incentives we can put in place. But in addition, we're also seeing what are the opportunities with regards to ICT applications that can be promoted.
Okay, there's a hand at the back. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to respond to honourable members on this issue. The department has submitted, I think September, local content and local manufacturing and development strategy. It's quite comprehensive. It's been done by CGI, Development Communications, Economic Development, Arts and Culture to deal with issues of production of local content. And particularly it's targeted towards electronic manufacturing. The country is not even producing USBs, so there are elements of the strategy that say that South Africa, this is where you are going to start, and it's targeting the youth in particular as youth manufacturing capabilities to generate skills that are needed in the youth to manufacture. Having said so, we would definitely be starting with identifying elements or issues that issues like the Malaysian models that they are using on how they generated the industry in Japan, how it generated industry in China itself, how it generated its industry. So most of the equipment that we do, even court that we use to charge our phones, will have to be manufactured in South Africa. The discussion is assumed with relevant companies within that element of the strategy. So I think in the near future the minister would bring the strategy to the committee for consideration, but it's been to the class that it's already existing, the document is in place, you can have it in the due process of parliament. Thank you.
Okay, yeah, I agree that the response has been done, but I'll allow again the minister to say if they want to really run the issue. The minister already has it up.
Just thank you for all the input. I think most of the answers were given. And just on the SIA report, yes, if you check the number of SIA reports as the people in Swahili, and because it also reflects either on the quality of management, with the leadership, and the compliance, really, whether people are following in the system and leadership issues. I think one of the times was showing. So we'll be looking into that. Our approach is we'll encourage the SIU to expedite the investigation, bring out reports so that we can respond to the report and action must be taken based on the report. So I hope the members will be able to agree to one of the just to emphasize the point of local production, local content, but local production, it's the first. It's not going to start for. If we are aiming, if the policy says that we must give school children tablets, physical computers, and so on, so where are these going to be pursued? I think the issues the current members is to really focus on the local production. Some of the issues living around is set-top boxes, which is now stalling the digital migration process, processes around that, because we also don't want to be flooded by foreign gadgets being down here. we have a problem